You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Wow, you guys, Bing is for doing, I don't know if you know that or knew that or not, but Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz After Show for New York Housewives, Real New York Housewives. Oh my God, I can't even say it. Real Housewives of New York. Kristen, way to start the show. I'm your host, luckily for you guys. Welcome to Real Housewives of New York City, Season 5, Episode 1. I am your host, Kristen Carney, and I have three lovely co-hosts with me. I have Anna Koppel, Molly Harper, and Yerman Gurr, which is so amazingly awesome. Thanks, guys, for joining me. We are going to be recapping all of the New York Housewives season, so you guys are going to come with us on an amazing journey to shallowness, and we are really excited to do this.
We are.
We're excited.
I'm super excited.
I'm giddy with excitement.
Yeah. And before we get started, I just want to give a shout out to everybody on iTunes for listening. And if you guys ever want to tell a friend or make a friend to tell a friend about AfterBuzz, we'd really appreciate it. A little spreading the message is a little bit like Christianity. You know, the way that spread, and we're going to spread like wildfire. Even though we've got a Muslim,
like
you guys.
It spreads like that spreading thing.
Right.
Like
we've got a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, and a Christian.
And Molly.
I mean, we're not like Christian.
And Molly. And Molly. Which tonight is its own faith.
Right. So this is a whole mixed bag of morals.
Well, I guess I'm half Hindu now, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 We're
representing great. All corners here.
We are.
Yeah. We try.
Yeah. We are. Well, let's get into this. We are going to start out the show by talking about the old characters. We're going to call it Out with the Old, In with the New, which Yerman was so creative to come up with. We said goodbye to some crazy women. Crazy
women. It's okay. We've got...
Good riddance, I say.
It's going to be all right.
Good riddance to some, but not all. I really liked Alex, which some people might think I'm crazy, but I felt like she was the only voice of reason.
Agreed.
She really was. She has common sense. Although she breaks out in hives, it's from a good place.
I like that she breaks out in hives. It's an honest reaction.
It is, and she's genuinely reacting. Whereas someone like Jill is never genuinely reacting. She's only trying to make the situation benefit her, and none of it was ever real. So,
right.
But the bottom line is, I think we lost some good TV. And I think watching this new season started out to me making me feel a little homesick. I felt like I really missed the other ladies at first. And it's going to take me a little while, just like when you move somewhere new,
sure,
to kind of feel at home.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's how I felt about you know, the premiere with the new ladies.
I feel that. And I agree with you, obviously. Like, we're missing some major players here. But I feel that, like, Jill just got to be so angry, such an angry person. And, you know, Kelly was just nuts. So I think those are some energies that are just good to sort of exercise out
right, but
of
I
the
don't,
housewives.
But I don't really understand that because the whole... Am I very echoey to you guys?
No.
Because I feel like I'm very echoey. Okay. No. The whole... are you guys echoey in your own heads?
No.
Okay. You are? Okay. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Everyone, I apologize. it doesn't make any sense to me that they would get rid of some of the anger, because that's why people tune in, because that creates drama. And I know it's bad energy, but it was very entertaining energy, even though it was bad energy.
Right.
So I know these ladies are going to bring just as much bad energy as everyone else has.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I understand that, of course, we become vested in characters with shows, and these types of shows thrive on people being angry or nuts or crazy. But luckily, there's plenty coming in.
Yeah.
So it really is out with the old, which is boo, but hey, in with the new kind of thing. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for people to kind of fill those gaps that you might feel over time, kind of like, oh, I don't know if they're going to be able to fill that void.
It actually kind of renewed my faith in Bravo, because Bravo really goes for things that are ultimately like just the shallowest of the shallow. And for them to get rid of people that are creating so much drama, mm-hmm. I thought, wow, real human beings actually work at Bravo. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, their judgment just said, this is too much, you know. And I think a lot of the responses that I read online were kind of relieved to see someone like Kelly go, because it was like she was so lowbrow. She was so... She never made any sense. It was like literally watching a crazy person justify... her shortcomings all the time, and it was really strange to watch. So, well,
and it was also like that time on Crazy Island where it was literally just watching somebody break down, completely lose her mind, and it's like, oh, and I'm just watching this, like I'm enjoying this, and and there's something really wrong with that. It is voyeuristic as reality television can be, and it was just like taking it to a new level of, this is really wrong, you know.
Well, no matter what you do, I think, no matter how crazy or nuts or just plain mean you could be, you still have to enjoy. You want to still, it's like rooting for the villain. You want to try to, there is an echo a little bit in my ear now that I think about it. You still want to root for the villain. Every villain is supposed to find a way to make the audience their fan. So it just seemed to me like at one point they just stopped being, like I just stopped rooting for them, period. They were just either completely mean to the point of just being mean, or nuts to the point of being nuts. And I lost any way of relating to them whatsoever. And as soon as that happens, as soon as that disconnect happens, you lose your audience.
Right.
So if anything, Bravo was smart by saying, okay, well, we tried. The chemistry wasn't there. Let's try to bring something else in.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the ladies that we do have now, we have Aviva, we have Carol, and we have Heather. Three, obviously, you know, accomplished ladies and how they describe themselves. Heather, she's the owner of Yummy by Heather Thompson, which is called Yummy Tummy, mm-hmm. Which is a shapewear line. And she has a great body, so I don't know why she's really interested in shapewear. But anyway, she does that. We have Carol, who basically was a princess. Her husband, who is now deceased, was a member of the Kennedy family somehow. I don't know how he
His
was
mother was
a prince.
Jackie O's sister.
Yeah.
Okay. How is he actually a prince? Is anyone else? She called him a prince.
He actually...
It's a good question.
Yeah. Because I thought, okay, we're not British.
It's a prince by their side of the marriage. So he's also part Kennedy, part of royalty of the country I just blanked on.
Yeah, I have to look it up.
I feel like she's a princess, like Luann is a countess.
Yeah, like, it's you can call yourself anything at this point. Like, I can call myself a host. Clearly, I'm not.
Right.
Just kidding.
I can call myself black. You know?
Exactly.
Doesn't mean it's real.
Exactly. You're definitely not. But anyway, right. Aviva, which I hate to describe her off the bat, but the amputee.
Right.
The amputee. We'll just refer to her by the amputee. And she
is so, very attractive.
That is so like, we're just going to call you the amputee. Forget that you may have accomplished anything else whatsoever in your lifetime. It's the leg. We can't get over the leg.
We can't.
Well, to be fair, though, Carol is also,
she's an accomplished writer.
She's a writer, yes.
Not only is she a writer, she's a journalist. She worked under Peter Jennings and Diane Sawyer.
Yes.
Diane Sawyer. Thank you. Diane Sawyer under ABC News. So she obviously
now she
has
works at Glamour.
And now, yeah, exactly. She's an accomplished writer, an author, and now she's a freelance author for Glamour magazines and any magazine out there that's like highbrow in one sense. So she's not just a princess. She's actually, oddly enough, she's becoming my new favorite person, even
though it's been
one episode. Yeah. You were talking about the.
She's sane a little bit.
She's like, she seems to me like possibly the new voice of reason. When
Definitely.
Everyone else is freaking out, she's always like calm and collected. And
she's actually really cool. I read her blog on the Bravo website. You can read their blogs after each episode. Her blog is really funny. She's a really good writer.
She seemed very
really
witty.
Yeah, yeah, very witty.
She had a couple moments in the interviews where I thought, oh my gosh, this woman's funny and she's smart, and I'm glad they have her on here.
Yeah.
Because it makes it more tolerable with knowing she has a real sense of humor and a real sense of the world.
But I always wonder how, like, real people, air quotes, end up on a show like Real Housewives. Like,
oh, yeah. That makes you question the whole thing. It's like, right, if you're out on a date with a guy and he seems normal, but he's driving like an Eclipse, you're like, yeah, this guy can't be totally normal.
A Mitsubishi Eclipse?
Yeah.
They even make those?
Yeah. You know what
those?
I mean, though? It's
clarify,
like the guy
we're talking about
really
a
nice.
Mitsubishi Eclipse 2008, 2009 right, era? Yeah, just checking.
Wait, right. I didn't even think they made those anymore.
Exactly.
Last time I saw one, I was in high school.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You think they're normal, they're and then all of a sudden, it's just something's off. It's like, really, a Mitsubishi Eclipse? Wow. Anyway,
wow,
that was out of left field.
Right.
Sorry, all my buddies that drive or have German Eclipses right now.
They should be apologizing
tooled
to you.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Please
cheesy
call in. Just say I'm sorry or something, because Kristen does not like you.
So we have Heather, Aviva, and Carol.
And Carol. Yep.
And you know what? Something I'll say for those who are missing the old ladies is that I'm a huge Real Housewives fan. I'm a huge Orange County fan and New Jersey fan. And I used to watch New York occasionally, but I was never like an avid watcher of it. I watched it a little bit when Bethany was on it. So for me, I don't miss the old, and I'm excited about the new, and I'm like excited about these women and everything that we're going to see. So I think for those people who are fans of like the Real Housewives brand, who are maybe watching this, you know, New York for the first time, you know, they're probably excited because it seemed like a lot of drama is going to unfold. So, you know, I think a lot of people can watch it without having watched prior season.
Oh,
I
definitely
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's there's a way to get a whole new audience.
It's kind of nice that it is a new cast, because somebody like me who's new to, you know, the New York Housewives can get into it with kind of a more fresh start.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Even the episode didn't linger at all. It wasn't sentimental. It was like, okay, here are the new guys. Here we go.
Boom.
Right. And it just dove right in.
Right. Yeah. And you think, you know, you're going to be the new kid on the block. You might act like the new kid on the block, but they don't. Maybe for the first, like, 10 minutes of the show,
yeah,
everyone's,
maybe in that first little,
you know, a little hesitant.
Luan, maybe.
I don't know. Heather kind of played
go
that
right
card
into it
the entire episode.
The new girl,
Heather,
the really smiley,
like, she, and I've talked to him for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. No, go ahead. Well, that card, it was her interactions made me uncomfortable. When we start with Ramona going to her office, the whole thing was, it felt like an awkward job interview.
Yeah.
And she was, I mean, both of them were awkward, but Heather to me seemed like the woman who's conducting the interview who hates you, but she's letting you continue the interview anyway, even though you know you're not going to get the job.
Yeah,
that's her mannerism. Yeah. And it made me so uncomfortable, because I've been in that scenario, because I never get the job.
Well, but I agree, she seemed so phony, but then I was like, well, then again, she runs a shapewear business, and isn't that inherently phony?
Yes,
you're like lying about your body,
right? Exactly.
So she's just a phony person in general.
Exactly.
And I couldn't stand her.
It was interesting, just from her point of view, she seemed very, like, when you're the new kid on the block, you would think you would just kind of take it all in and kind of figure out where your place is. But she was playing that card, yet still had no problems either saying what she really felt in the interviews, or even, you know, saying back to Ramona, like, actually, I might not never let anybody finish sentences, but you all don't either. Like, for someone who's a new kid on the block, she really didn't waste her time telling everybody how she felt as well, which seems uncharacteristic. Like, when I'm just getting used to a new environment, I usually keep my mouth shut to try to figure out my bearings, so I can be like, okay, what is or is not acceptable in this environment?
I thought she was nasty. I thought she was outright nasty a few times. And the new kid on the block thing,
you're just thinking about the new kids on the block.
I am.
That's
no, but
said.
In her intro, she says, holla.
Like, oh, I know.
Holla.
Yeah, that's really awkward.
You know, she used to work for P. Diddy and for Beyonce Knowles.
Oh, so it's cool then.
So I think she's trying to be like, I've worked for them. Like, she tried. Like, did you see the pictures
so
of her with P. Diddy? Like, she had, or does he go by P.
She's
Diddy
like
anymore?
Peace signs up. They're like in the club.
Her hat was
with their, with the
nobody can see our hands, but we're doing
but
like,
it was funny because she started out at like Ralph Lauren and then Polo, and then she was like P.
Calvin
Diddy
Klein,
and then she was
then
like P. Diddy, and she was like Beyonce Knowles and Kelly Rowland, and there's pictures with her with every like famous African American person.
Yeah.
And we're like, we get it, you're going down that path, we get it. And she always does the nose crinkle. Did you guys notice that? Like, every time she talked to people, she like did the nose crinkle.
Yeah, it was
like,
this like fake.
I actually thought that it was, I took it one step further and thought she was kind of permanently stuck in that that whole first party, she had like the same facial expression.
The nose crinkle.
The nose crinkle, but then the eyebrows up.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of like this whole thing.
For everyone who's listening right now, the face that Yarmon just made
it's
was
like you're,
really
you're like a truck is about to hit you. And then when you'd see her in the interviews, she was just fine. No nose crinkle, no eyebrows up, no big eyes, nothing. So it's
fake.
Really
it's fake.
Yeah, it's very fake. And I feel like if she watches this, she might realize that she's doing that. Yeah. It probably is second nature, and she probably has no idea that that's a habit that
well,
she
you
has.
Know what? I think it's going back to what Anna was saying, like a little bit of the, you know, being as it is their first episode, I think a lot of them are a little bit unnatural. It's the first time that they're having cameras in their faces all the time. And like, I even thought Aviva, when she was having the coffee with Luann, when they were having coffee out by the boathouse in Central Park, she seemed very a little bit put on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, clearly they must have taped that earlier in the season because she seemed more comfortable like later when we saw her getting a pedicure and whatever.
Definitely.
Because I think it's, you know, probably a little alarming having a camera shoved in your face at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you might be a little bit like
of course.
On.
Yeah, of course. Well, when she goes to lunch with Luann, Luann reveals that they've known each other for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And that they've been friends. She used the term friends. So we'll see if a relationship between them blossoms. But, you know, I mean, we can also save that for predictions. But, you know, when you use the term friends in a show like this, it's like it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
There's no weight to that word.
No.
So we'll see if anything goes
anywhere. I think friends could mean like they've seen each other at the same social events a few times.
Right, right. So we start off at Sonia's party. And, you know, like we said, Heather seemed kind of fake. What do you think everyone's demeanor was going into this? Were they...
Well, Molly, you mentioned a quote that Sonia had.
Sonia said that when she was throwing the party, she said, you know, she wanted to be really fresh because the only thing worse than stale brioche is a party with stale guests, which I loved. I was like, I have to use that sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I thought, well, one thing I'll say about the party and about all of the social events on this episode is like, if I have to hear Ramona talk about Pinot Grigio one more time.
I know.
Yeah. Or like Ramona wine. They're like, what would you like to have?
And Pinot Grigio? And this is kind of your first season too.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're already sick of it.
It's inundated. I mean, I like Pinot Grigio, but please. I don't know what people think about Luann from prior seasons, but just being introduced to her at the party, I kind of liked her. And I hope, you know, people don't hate me for saying that because I don't know how people feel about her. But
you said you kind of liked
her. I liked Luann. I did. And but I will say, I think corning Ramona at the party was, that's not the right time.
Was that at Sonia's party?
Yeah.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
She took her aside and she's like, we need to talk because what you said
to me. We need to clear the air.
Yeah. Across. And I just think, you know, clear the air, but that's not the time. Like a party isn't the place to do that.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Luann is that I want to like her as well because I have an aunt that's kind of like her. She doesn't call herself Countess and she's not that ridiculous, but she's got the same look, the same kind of demeanor. Yeah. And I think my aunt's like the coolest.
Yeah.
But Luann obviously takes it a step further and she loses me. And you'll see probably as the season goes on, she's very overly condescending. Mm. And it's just eventually it's like you want to like her, but then it kind of kicks into gear that this woman is hypocritical because she acts so much more sophisticated than she actually is. She's pretty delusional. Mm-hmm. She's recorded songs that are money can't buy
that.
You class.
Oh, I remember.
It's
that.
Like, well, money can't buy you a song, honey. You know,
and she's a really good speaking voice.
She does. She's very
mannish.
She's very posed
in her voice.
Composed.
I like her voice.
It's a manly voice.
But it
singing.
Is manly.
Yeah. Nobody wants
money
to see anybody
over
the age of like 30 trying to make an album.
I could see that. I think I'd like to be I'd like to be a fan of Luann, but Luann. I've known people like her. They make me feel like I need to constantly be presenting my resume. Like, you're doing, she's been there.
Right.
You speak languages? I speak languages. What do you speak? I speak French. Oh, je parle français aussi. You could see Aviva, was obviously probably one of the first things that they filmed, she probably wasn't ready to be grilled on her French right then. Right. She's like, well, yes, I speak French, but you could just tell it was choppy. It's like, I don't need to be, can we just talk right now? We're just out to lunch. I can't. So I feel
she
puts people throughout the episode on the spot. What's your resume? Where have you been? I've been there. Don't worry. I've been all over the place. I've done everything. I speak everything. I am everything. Welcome to my world.
Right.
Well, she lets you... Point. Go ahead.
Sorry. Luann did that as well to Heather when Heather said she was Italian, and she was like, oh, so you speak Italian.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm Italian doesn't mean I speak Italian. I'm in the United States. We're not all brought up on the language. And it's like, the minute Heather said that, you can see Luann's wheels turning like, oh, she must not be on my level.
And didn't she say she was like part... Italian, part Native American.
No, Luann's part Native American.
Yeah, Luann.
Right. Yeah, but Heather is part Italian.
And part Jewish.
And part, or well, she married a Jewish guy. And
so she practices Judaism.
Yes, she does say that. Yeah.
Luann lets you know very quickly where your place is and that it's beneath her. And, you know,
not a lot of options there, huh?
No. She has written a book, Class with the Countess, and it's sort of like an Emily Post, but for... Countesses, I guess, because that's really an issue in America today.
So
she is the most hypocritical person I've ever witnessed. And again, just so condescending and classless. And I do not enjoy her. I am on team opposite of Luann.
Yeah. Luann also, I want to flash back to the seasons prior and just say that Luann was always on that cusp of team brunette versus team blonde, because in a lot of ways Luann is more sensible to when there's an argument. Luann understands that if you call someone a whore bag that you probably shouldn't do that. So, and I'm referring back to when they took a trip for Ramona's wedding or vow renewal.
Yeah.
Right.
And Kelly was out of her mind fighting with Bethany and called Bethany a whore bag and went on and tried to make Bethany out to be this crazy person when Bethany was completely innocent. And so so Luann was supposed to be part of
Team Kelly.
Kelly's world.
Yeah.
But when Kelly told Luann about the fight, Luann really said, well, I mean, you did call her a whore bag and that wasn't that good. So Luann is sensible in certain ways, and that's why I'm always on the cusp with her. I want to like her, but then she does something where I'm just like, wow.
But then Luann will turn around
see you next Tuesday.
And call somebody a whore bag.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So, yeah, she's all over the place. However, they all are. So I guess we have much more to talk about. We're 20 minutes in.
can we say how, like, at the party and how at every moment she could, like, Heather just meets these people and she says, you know, my dad just died. It's like, okay, Debbie Downer. Like, all she does is talk about her dad dying at every chance she gets.
It's an interesting card to play. Like, hi, I'm Heather. My dad died.
Right.
She
and
did.
Nice to meet you. I get that her dad died, and she probably wants to talk about that, but you can tell she's so out of touch with her emotions that that's the way she's dealing with it, is to only talk about it to people in this awkward social environment where she probably isn't talking to her husband or herself and being real and breaking down the barrier alone. So she's doing it in this weird environment to get it off her chest. I think that's the only way she can.
I think so too. And I think, you know, I'm very blessed. I have both of my parents, and like, God forbid the day that like I have to deal with that, I can only imagine like what a basket case I would be and like how like that would just be at the forefront of my mind. Like, guys, my dad just died. Like, I also don't know that I would be at a cocktail party. Like, so.
Right. Right. That's the thing too, is like, she's already put herself out there, which shows this almost like lack of, it's like very vacant to me. If someone in your family just died and you put your priority to like forge ahead in your life 1 week later to be on a reality show, it just kind of makes me doubt what kind of person you are. And so I'm saying she's probably dealing with this. This is the only time she's allowing herself to deal with it is around other people or something.
Right. I think is a little bit of a factor of the fact that these people all have things they need to share and don't get the right opportunity to do so amongst all of them. Even Ramona, in her meeting with Heather down later in the episode, decided instead of it going to be, hey, let's go see your line and check out your office space, it ended up being a exposition of her life struggles.
Right.
And, you know, she started to need, she's like, even her, she admitted that she didn't expect to need Kleenex.
Right.
So, you know, that to me is also an inappropriate time to necessarily go into something like that. So I think all these people at some level need to communicate something that's going on inside that's not being communicated to either to their husbands or to their friends or to their relatives, whoever it is that they may need to kind of let go of their feelings to. And they decide to bring them out in the most awkward times because they just don't know how else to do it.
Right. What's interesting about these women is that they I feel like we're like NPR talking about housewives, which is like so something they wouldn't be talking about.
Oh, yeah.
We're very, you know, getting deep into this. But I feel like these women will air their grievances and get stuff off their chest that has to do with minutiae of wine or an outfit someone's wearing. But when it comes to a bigger issue like death, it seems like they're so unaware
right.
of its effects, and that's what they should be talking about and thinking about rather than this like BS about someone's shoes, you know? And so I don't know. It's just like there's like a short, there's like
the
a wire.
Is skewed.
Yeah, it's like
the
their view is
skewed. Just they're, a touch.
Yeah, it's a priority thing. But this is what these women are. This is what they do. This is why we watch them. If they right. first, if their first priority was dealing with death, then we wouldn't be entertained.
Yeah, right. It's so, so sad. If they were doing things sensibly, they would be absolutely not entertaining whatsoever.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
weird.
And we wouldn't be talking
click,
about them.
Click, next yeah. channel.
Exactly.
Another kind of like uncomfortable better. Thing at that party was when Aviva went up to Carol and was talking about her book, the book that was
oh, the husband. Oh,
yeah. Her husband who died. And
yeah, it was very morbid.
It was kind of like,
she started talking about cancer.
She's like, oh my God, I'm such a big fan of your book about the husband that died.
Yeah.
Oh my God, let's talk about that. And it's like, the woman's wearing hot pants.
Yeah.
And like,
she looked great in that,
out.
By the way.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Wasn't her reaction at one point, I'm so sorry enough to say.
She said, you know, when
out.
I'm a widow oh. dressed in like hot pants or something.
No, but she said, to change the subject,
are
she's
my
like, are my tits out?
Yeah.
And then she just beelines. She's like, I'm going to get myself some Pinot Grigio. Apparently, it's the hot drink of the year.
That's all they're going
to do. Awesome. But yeah, exactly. Carol, even she was in the interview, wasn't she saying that, like, the last thing I want to do in these situations, like, I've.
She did. She said the last thing I want to do is talk about that. But
it's been 10 years.
On her blog on Bravo TV, she said, hey, guys, you know, when that happened, I'm sure you probably thought that was uncomfortable. What do you think I did? Did I, like, tell her to stop? She put, like, A, B, C, D, E. And she goes, E. I gave her a hug and we embraced. I was like, really? Because you didn't seem like you would have done that. You seemed like you wanted nothing to do with the conversation.
She said she did that?
She said she did, but
well,
we didn't
did.
See
it. Looked
it,
like, it, no, it looked like they had, like, a conversation about it. But I also kind of feel like she's like, she announced it on the show too. She's like, hey guys, it's me, Carol, the one who wrote that New York Best Times, New York Selling Best Times, whatever, somewhere
she's
I can see.
It's hard
English.
To like get the order.
Yeah.
New York Times bestseller.
Thank you.
Did she start out all of her introductions like this one time at Bandcamp? Like, so when I wrote a book about my husband dying of cancer 10 years ago, like every time in her interviews, like, I'm not like talking about it, but this one time when I at Bandcamp.
New York Times bestselling, not a big deal 10 years ago.
Not a big deal.
This is how all of them started out though, because that's how Aviva starts out. Like, oh, by the way, I was in an accident and I lost my leg.
Right.
Hi, I'm Aviva.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the same intros. Like one time I was on this farm ride and my leg got cut off.
Yeah.
It's the same.
But I don't want to be treated any
altogether.
Differently.
Right. Does anyone feel a little suspicious about a farm ride taking off an entire foot like this?
No. Well, this farm equipment is
of
like.
Of course. Yeah.
Farm equipment.
She's lucky she's not dead.
People. Yeah. You need to get yourself on a farm.
Yeah, you've never been on a farm.
I thought I was like, what? Didn't you think this is probably like, maybe I should.
Both my parents are both farming families, and there have been a lot of like deaths and manglings on farms.
That's real.
luckily.
And can we talk about another awkward thing at the party, which was the purple eyeshadow that Ramona wore?
All I could focus on.
What is she wearing on her face? She looks like she'd been punched in the eye.
Yeah.
You see her purple eyeshadow? And why is her eyes always bugging out? Does she have hypertension?
Right. She doesn't need to bring any more attention to her eyes.
Like actually,
her
while eyes. We're talking about eyes, eye makeup, purple eyeshadow.
Yeah.
If you guys don't want to get purple eyeshadow, but you'd like another color of eyeshadow, you should buy it through AfterBuzz TV on Amazon. All you have to do is go to the website of AfterBuzzTV.com, click on the Amazon logo, and then you can buy anything you want on Amazon.
That's so cool.
Oh, even
including
eyeshadow?
Purple eyeshadow.
Including purple eyeshadow.
I'm going to come in purple eyeshadow next week just for that.
Kristen, are there any like special codes you have to type in or anything? Or?
No, it's literally just AfterBuzzTV.com and then click the Amazon logo. I believe that's the way to do it. But there is a special code if you guys are huge gamers too. Instead of spending your money on buying games that cost like a gazillion, jillion dollars that you're going to play once, why don't you just go to Gamefly.com and play it there? And AfterBuzz has this amazing... Molly, stay with us here. We're getting to this. Molly hasn't been here in a little while, so these are all new.
Like Gamefly?
Okay. It's actually a really good deal. If you go to Gamefly.com/AfterBuzzTV, you get 15 days free of playing video games. Honestly, video games are really expensive. That's quite a deal.
So. Gamefly, if you don't know, it's kind of like
Netflix for video games.
Netflix for video games, exactly. So it's really cool. It's Get right instead on of that. Paying like $70 per game. It's,
I do it.
You pay a monthly. You Gamefly?
I Gamefly. I AfterBuzz. I video. I'm sorry. What I mean is, I study scientific equations and intellectual endeavors. I don't play video games.
Which makes that you perfect guy to play video games. So yeah, if you guys want to do that, it's just helping out AfterBuzz a little bit. We get a little kickback, and then we can bring more after shows your way for free.
Woo-woo.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think we're still at Sonia's party because there were so many awkward moments. Is that, were you still on the Sonia party?
Yeah, no, I just was talking about Ramona's eyeshadow at Sonia's party.
Yes. And Ramona, once she got in the office with Heather, was still wearing purple eyeshadow, but wasn't as bad because it was the daytime, but I was focused on that. It was
they
still
need
there.
Gretchen Christine from OC.
Oh,
Gretchen,
yeah. OC. Her makeup
she has
line.
The makeup line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do think that her eyes kind of wig out sometimes. I was like, I thought she
they
was
do. Yeah, she's crazy eyes. Everyone knows her as crazy eyes.
Yeah. Which one?
Ramona.
Ramona. Yeah. When you're I think she has like weird eyes.
That she had hypertension.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, Ramona, the way she, how do you guys feel about the way Ramona dealt with Luann's approach to her?
I thought it was a very classy. I was really impressed with Ramona.
But seriously.
Right.
No, I actually really was. Because she was. Okay. No. I was really impressed because Luann, who, you know, classy Luann, just going over to Ramona and saying, like, we need to clear the air. Well, that might be true, but then you, like, call Ramona and say, let's go to coffee, let's talk about this. You don't go to somebody in a cocktail party where everybody's been drinking and say, like, we need to clear the air. Like, no, that's recipe for drama. That's not...
And just to clarify why they have drama, the last season, Ramona was very judgmental toward Luann for
the
way...
She called her a weekend mom.
Yeah, the way she raised her kids. So Luann... And Ramona made the comment that, I'm not going to apologize to someone who... about truth. I feel like I was telling the truth, and I don't deserve... Or I don't need to tell sorry to somebody who's... doing something that
which
I think
is
wrong.
True. I agree with her. Like, I don't, when I don't feel like I need to apologize, I don't want to feel forced to apologize.
Right.
Right.
If she truly feels that's, I mean, granted,
it's a fake apology then if you get one.
Yeah. Maybe she shouldn't have said what she said, but if she doesn't want to apologize, I don't think she has to.
Right. And Ramona's personality is notorious for saying what she's thinking. She has no filter really.
She says that in the intro. She says, I'm the one that says what everybody else is thinking.
Right. Yeah. And she does. And that's what she does. And Luann knows that. Yeah. And I mean, it was, I think, out of place to say that. If someone said that to me, the thing is, it's jolting because it is probably true.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. If you were only seeing your children on the weekends and somebody called you weekend mom,
you shouldn't be offended.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You should be like, yeah, well, that's the truth.
That's
but,
the deal.
You know, I can understand. And so we move into the next party.
Well, just one step further before that. Heather actually asked Ramona. She's like, oh, so what happened at the party with you and Luann? And again, Ramona took the high road and she said, you know, it's really between Luann and I. You know, thank you for asking. Thank you for your concern. I appreciate that. But it's really between us. And I thought, wow, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. And I was just really impressed with that.
Yeah.
So
you can already see Heather's definitely team brunette.
Yeah.
From like season before.
Yeah.
Because she, in a sense, wants to stir up a little something. She wants to get something brewing a little bit. And I think Aviva looks like she's taking the high road a little bit, but we see in previews that she isn't. So this whole time we haven't really talked much about her because she just seemed nice.
Yeah. She's like Switzerland.
Yes. Very Swiss.
They speak French there, right?
Among other things, yes.
Okay. So anything else about Sonia's party? I'm having a hard time differentiating between Sonia's party and
one
Ramona's
thing.
Party.
Ramona's party.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
One more thing about Sonia's party is that we sort of, well, before that even, but definitely at Sonia's party, we learned that Aviva's ex-husband Harry and Sonia have a long-time friendship, probably have slept together.
Went out with Luann as well.
Went out with Luann as well. So,
Carol said on her blog, she was like, so he's apparently slept with Luann and with Sonia. So apparently Harry has a really big wallet.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah, big dot 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 wallet.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't look that handsome because they showed him like once or twice.
Yeah. I think she definitely is slept with him. I think that'll probably come up later, prediction. But
Yes. For sure.
And Sonia kind of made this little catty comment because Aviva was like, you know, I didn't know how you were going to be and this is a little uncomfortable. Like, just sort of saying what was so for her. And Sonia was like, oh, no, if Harry's with me, he's so comfortable. Like, anytime he's with me, you know.
way to create a barrier between you and Aviva.
Yeah,
like your ex-husband and I were so, he's really open with me.
Yeah, he's always been comfortable around me whenever I'm there.
She's insinuating, like the tone is saying, like, he told me everything about your relationship when you were together because I was like his best friend.
Well, it draws a circle around Sonia and Harry.
Yeah.
And it leaves Aviva outside over here.
Right. When Aviva should be right inside because she was married to the man. She should be the one not on the outside.
They have children together.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought that was a little, that was a dig.
Yes.
That was a dig.
But then we see them go out to get their 3 feet done, get their nails, their pedicures done. And they seem to have a good rapport.
And Sonia says that she adores Aviva. She thinks she's wonderful. She said, why has Harry been hiding her from me this whole time?
Right. Right. But again, I think.
Do you have to pay extra for the third foot?
We never found out.
Inquiring men want to know because the other time I was like, you have to pay the third. I'm just saying.
I mean, if you see ladies like that, you always charge them extra just in general. I would guess.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to get an itemized thing at the end and be like, I'm sorry. There's a $2 charge here at the end. I'd like to.
It'd be funny if they offered the extra foot like a 10-minute massage. I never say no to those things.
She was just like, prosthetic, just like working it down.
Yeah, me. That's funny.
I'm probably going to burn in hell for that one.
We're all curious, though, about how that works.
Yeah.
You know, having a foot like that, because she had a high heel version of her leg to wear high heels with. But if you don't have the amount of money that she has, you can't afford to have those prosthetics are hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, they make an allusion to that. Once she goes back in there for tune-ups and repairs that need to be done to her prosthetics, they made an allusion to the fact that she sees those who are less fortunate, which is pretty much everyone else, I would assume, since these people are at the highest level of economic income, and you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who can't afford multiple prosthetics, repairs, upkeep, maintenance, let alone this is what I use for, you know,
my high heel.
My high heels are for like hanky panky times, and my flats are when I go to get the pedicure.
Right.
People are just like, this is my thing.
Yeah. This is my
morning,
wooden leg.
This is my wooden leg with a kickstand. It's morning, noon, and night. I don't get a choice.
You guys, my ex-boyfriend's mom, like, that's what she did. Is she fits people for prosthetics, and she told me like such horror stories that, and it's like all I can think about when I watch Aviva. And I mean, stuff I probably shouldn't talk about on air, but
you probably do that a special segment next week.
We can do a special segment next week. But
the horrors.
Yeah, there are some really unfortunate stories out there, and so Aviva's. I'm glad she has upkeep.
Yeah, I liked her, and she seems like an attractive woman.
Yes. Yeah. She looked older in her interviews. Not that that matters, but she did. Her hair was like gray. Yeah, definitely. So we are now at Ramona's party in the Hamptons, which gets definitely awkward between Heather, Ramona, and Mario, Ramona's husband.
I love Mario.
But I think Mario, the way he went about telling her, because the way they edited it together was beautiful, but he was getting like cut off every, she would go, over everything he said. He couldn't finish a sentence.
She goes, yeah.
Yeah. I know she does.
Oh my God, it's obnoxious. I can't stand her.
I know.
Yeah. Every time you talk.
But then she spun it to tell Aviva and Heather, or Aviva and Carol and Luann, like, oh, he just said to me, you know, you cut people off. He didn't say that. He was kind of playfully saying, like, you know, I mean, you kind of do cut people off a little bit. Like, he was trying to throw it in there. Like,
he was trying to be, as my mom taught me at a young age, like, when you need to say something to someone that can be uncomfortable, kind of joke about it, but they'll get the hint.
Awesome.
Like, are you going to wear that? You know, like,
kind of
in a fun way.
Right, right.
And he did that. He achieved it really well.
I just want to go home and change. I don't know what you can't see what I'm wearing, everyone, but it's not going to be the same tomorrow.
But you know what I mean? And she was interrupting every 2 seconds. And I think that when Ramona was like, you should let him finish. Yeah. I was like,
let him tell the story. Let him tell the story.
I was like, yeah, let him, you know, and it's really funny.
The thing is, Ramona has balls. She has like brass balls.
I think she has Asperger's.
She definitely has Asperger's. We've talked. Yeah.
We went from autism. Brass balls to the medical definition, Asperger's.
Right.
As Kristen and I have talked about at length. But I think she does. She says what everybody's thinking. That's called Asperger's.
Yeah. She should be a comedian.
That's awesome.
She should. Just honesty. But she was being honest, and Heather, of course, is going to take it the wrong way. It's going to create drama, and then they go to sit down for dinner, and Heather's sitting next to Mario. I don't think it caused too much tension. They kind of left
Mario
Heather out of this
Mario seems really easygoing. I don't know him yet,
nice.
But He seems easygoing. Although somebody emailed me,
wouldn't he? Just so to make the world
to
right?
To deal with those women?
Just because it's good and evil have to balance out, and so crazy has to be balanced out with normal. I mean, he kind of.
Right. I'm sure he finds Ramona like there's something charming about her.
Clearly, when she's got two champagne bottles,
she's
crazy.
Double fisting. I mean, she's funny.
Yeah. Woo!
She is funny. Yeah. And like as annoying as she is, I agree with a lot of what she says.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times she'll say the truth.
Yeah.
And it was making talking. Me think about that on the way here. It was like my biggest pet peeve in life is if I say something and somebody goes, "Tell us how you really feel."
Oh,
I'm like,
hate
I just
that.
Did.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right.
I'm screaming. I just did.
Right.
Like I did just tell you how I really right. feel, and right. I hate it when people say that.
Right.
I'm sure Ramona's been told that 100 times in her life. Yeah. Oh, tell us how you really feel, Ramona. So she's just like, "F it." I'm gonna say how I really feel all the time.
Yeah,
real
to God,
loud
Molly,
and
I was gonna say that like a little bit earlier in the segment. Thank God I held my tongue. I was literally going to say. So I think it's.
Tell us
point,
how you really feel.
I think I was going to say something like that, either to you or Anna. Something. Thank goodness I didn't say it.
It's
I will never say it in your presence. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for something.
Sorry, I thought
I'm
it.
So sorry. I didn't do what I was going to do. I'm so sorry for something I've never done. I'm
good.
So sorry.
Yeah. Keep saying that.
There's a few other of those phrases as they come up in my mind. I will throw out there that also bother me that to that extent.
I bet you anything later in the season we'll see Heather say that to Ramona.
Right. 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 Oh, God. Well, geez, the drama is going to continue.
Oh,
to
and
unfold.
Then Ramona made Sonia feel uncomfortable because Sonia said something about her husband. And she's like, "Hey, it was your ex-husband, honey."
Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, you got this attractive man sitting next to you. And whether or not he was attractive is debatable. But she was like, you know, you can't say things like your husband when you're single and on the prowl. But she's not really single because she's obviously with Harry on the side.
Well, they just.
She must
well,
be.
Well, I don't think they are currently. Are they currently?
What?
Sonia with Harry,
she keeps
like
bringing him up all the time. I mean, she must have a crush on him.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
talk about men that much unless you like them.
Yeah. Well, to talk about the Ramona and the Sonia thing with Ramona calling Sonia out, they're the two like cohorts. They're friends.
Sonia and Ramona.
Sonia, yeah. Sonia and Ramona. So Ramona can say something like that to Sonia, and Sonia won't
take it
and make it next week's gossip. You know, yeah. She'll kind of just take it in and be like, "Yeah, Ramona said it, whatever." But then
Heather will take it to
and make it a big
brunch
story.
The next day,
exactly,
and be like, "Oh, and then,
right? And then, can you believe a friend said to a friend something honest?
Yeah,
can you believe that?
Holla!
Does my tummy look good today?
I love it how, like, she was trying to tell. At that party, she was trying to tell Mario about the Berkshires, where Ramona grew up.
Yes.
He knows.
That
He's
was awkward.
Husband.
That's yeah. awkward. When you know somebody so well, and then you have someone telling you how you should feel, like telling you about that person that you
You're
live
like,
with,
yeah,
it's a very
wife.
Strange thing.
Yeah.
He handled it gracefully, though.
He did.
Right.
Like,
he definitely did. Mario is such a cool
it's
guy.
It's okay. You can stop now. I know. Yeah. What you're talking about. He's saying, yeah. He's like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice how when they walked in, he said, "Would you guys like any Pinot Grigio gin or vodka?" It's like, no red wine will ever be on this show ever.
Yeah, that
it's
was
like,
weird.
Red wine doesn't even exist.
And Heather wanted
scotch.
She's like, "Oh, I had a bad episode with gin in college." It's like, that was like 25 years ago. Who cares?
Right.
Try it again.
And Ramona said something like, "Why do you have to tell?" Like, they cut away to Ramona saying, like, Heather knows everything about everything. Just take the freaking shot. You don't have to educate us about tequila and how tequila is more of an upper than a downer.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a downer.
Yeah.
Has anyone really cared what tequila is except something you shoot?
Right.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Have you ever been like, this is an upper. This is what I need to take. Is it tequila? Shoot it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And get me a lime.
Yeah.
ASAP.
I worked for a chef who pointed that out all the time, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's
good
see.
Good times.
Good times.
So, okay. Do you guys think it's okay to take a commercial break?
Yeah.
Oh, how I wish we would.
Let's do it.
Hey there, good buddies. My handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee! What a feeling! I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Woolly Bear sent you.
Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. We are here gossiping about Real Housewives of New York City, episode 1 of season 5. I made a little joke earlier on Twitter where I said the credits of the closing credits of Real Housewives of New York are really just a memorial of all the crew that's killed themselves during the shooting doing the filming.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotta be tough to be on set like that. I mean, that's just some intense stuff. So we are going to do a special segment called What She Should Have Said. And this is mostly for Luann. As Anna pointed out, Luann has written a book about how to be the most classy woman, and she holds herself to this. She doesn't hold herself to this higher standard.
She thinks she does.
She thinks she does,
but she doesn't.
And I write a blog on like some social etiquette stuff, yeah. And I know that if I do something socially stupid, I feel like a giant a-hole, and I try not to do it because I want to hold myself to that standard. So I think Luann should as well. So let's get into our segment. What She Should Have Said.
Okay, great. I guess I'll start us off.
Yes.
So when we first meet Aviva, we were by the boats, and, you know, Yerman, you had mentioned that Luann had been grilling her on her French and whatever, but Luann had actually spoken about Aviva in a really positive light. She said, Aviva is poised and graceful and charming. And that is a lovely thing to say about something. So what she should have said about her after that was nothing. What she did continue to say was, you would never know she had a handicap. It's terrible. There's no need to say that. Shame on you, Luann.
Are you even allowed to call it a handicap anymore?
No, I think it's like disabled. Not disabled. That's even more politically correct.
Yeah.
Politically correct bullshit.
Yeah. Next.
Next.
So then, and I guess, I don't know, maybe Molly, you would agree with her on this, but when Heather was talking about her father had just died that Friday, you know, I think what Luann maybe should have said was something along the lines of, I'm so sorry for your loss, or it's really hard when you lose somebody, but instead what she said was, I can totally sympathize, but darling, it's cocktail time.
Classic.
Oh my God, I love that. I actually love that.
And some of them are witty. Yep. Even though she shouldn't be saying them, some of them kind of are creative.
Yeah, and that's true, but it doesn't make her any less of a bitch.
No, it does not.
Right.
It's fine if it's entertaining, but then don't profess to write books about what people should or shouldn't be saying, and then
completely disavow what it is that you just
propounded.
Yeah, if you guys happen to catch a rerun of The Reunion from last season, they do confront Luann about that. And, you know, she just says, well, I'm human, and whatever, you know, that's her main excuse. But there was also, from last season, the thing that she shouldn't have done was she corrected Ramona on a pronunciation of wine from Italy, from the place in Italy. And I don't know it exactly. I couldn't find the clip, but it was like Veneto or Veneto. It was something like that. Ramona was pronouncing it incorrectly. When Luann corrected her, she did it in a mocking way, like, oh, you mean. She knew what she meant the whole time, but she was acting like she didn't know what Ramona was talking about, just to keep Ramona saying it, to make Ramona look stupid, and Luann admitted that.
Yeah.
And then when Luann went to correct her on the actual pronunciation of the town in Italy or whatever it was,
right,
or the wine, she said it wrong the first time and then quickly corrected herself and said it right. So, you know,
girl,
just if you don't know how to pronounce it, don't make fun of someone else for not pronouncing it correctly.
Right.
So she shouldn't have said anything there.
Right.
She should have just said like, Veneto, you know, just keep it American. If you don't know how to say it, just keep it American.
That's interesting, too, because like my parents used to make me try to say things in other languages in as close to that language as I possibly could, out of respect for that language, which I understand. But people would be like, you know, I just went to Paris or something like that. And people are like, is that Paris, Booker? Then why the hell didn't you say so? You know, that sort of thing. And I get that, too. I don't necessarily – I sure as heck, if I decide to try to say something distinctively in that language, there's no way I'm going to – throw that down your throat and make you feel any sort of inadequacy because you may not say it that way.
It gets a little pretentious.
Most likely, I will choose not to do that anyways. I'll be like, well, we're in America, when in Rome, say it as the Romans do. So
right.
You'll just say it that way.
Giada De Laurentiis from Food Network, it's like, yeah. Skeety. It's like, yeah. Just, and it gets a little like silly. It's like, okay, you're sounding a little like a clown now.
There's a comedian, Brian Regan, who says, yeah. Yeah, do you have those friends that like they're Italian, Margarita. But they only order in Italian? Like, have the rigatoni. Like, it's just silly. Yeah, just it's just rigatoni. So dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. People get frustrated. I say like Hawaii sometimes. Like, I don't catch myself. Is that, you mean Hawaii? Yeah, Hawaii. I'm like, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes, Hawaii. Yeah. Pardon me. Yes.
Well, when I studied abroad in Australia, and when we were there, it was like, you couldn't say Melbourne. You had to say Melbourne. Uh-huh. You couldn't say Cairns because that's up where the Barrier Reef is. You could only see like Can. And when I was there saying it, I felt more comfortable. Once I got back here, I nixed it. I was like, I feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
I do. People are like, you mean Melbourne?
Yeah.
I was in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
That's what
I'm
asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So. Is that what people are saying to me when like, I went to Hawaii? You're like, Hawaii?
Yeah.
God, you're such a dill hole.
Yeah. It's a little knobby. It's a little
Sorry.
Bit of a knobby.
But Sorry,
no,
everybody.
It's classy. You're like, stick with Luann. Just kidding. So is that it for this week on what she should have said?
Oh, you know, there's one more what she should have said.
She shouldn't have said I'm Native American.
She should not have said that.
Just in general, don't say that.
I don't remember exactly who said it, but the girls, the new girls, said, let's vow to never become catty girls. And they should not have said that.
Sonia said that.
No. Sonia said
that? No, it was one of the new girls. It was like Heather or...
Sonia said, hey girls, we all agreed we were going to stay on the high road.
That's true.
Season.
She said that at the beginning. Earlier, yeah. In the beginning. But
we're talking about lunch at the end.
Lunch
right?
at the end.
Like closing to like to the previews kind of coming up, like juxtaposed.
Yeah. So it was one
of the
new girls.
I think that was Aviva.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Aviva maybe was allowed to say it in the moment.
Viva la vida.
But they were all, were like, no, of course not, of course not. And that, I mean, just made them look foolish. Because,
I mean, it instantly went to the previews, which we'll get into a minute in predictions.
And,
but,
like, newsflash, girls, you are catty. It's way too late for that.
That's what you're getting paid to, that's what you're on camera for, yeah. Is to be catty.
Well, I saw the three of them on the Today Show. They were on, like, 3 days ago or so. And, or no, like, Monday. Obviously, yes, Monday. They were on yesterday. And that's how slow my life moves. But they said... the three of them were on the couch. And they just, you know, admitted that they definitely went to places that they didn't expect themselves to in terms of being mean or snotty or rude or
I wouldn't
fighting.
Watch it if they weren't mean and snotty.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Like
right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have one more what she should have said.
Sure.
So when Luann's daughter, Victoria, was having an art show, mm-hmm. you know, and every single painting or sketch, whatever, was of a skull.
Yeah.
She kept saying over and over, I have a dark side, but it's not evil. What she should have said is, I draw skulls because my mom is a weekend mom.
Best quote of the night goes to Molly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You
well
win.
Played.
That's funny.
Well played.
Thanks. And so true. But she was like, way too pretty to be that like dark and
no,
angry.
No, and it's like Ed Hardy is so out and like, it's not 2004.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. I love how they call her an accomplished artist.
I know. Oh. She's 18 and she gets to sell art because her mom knows people that have money to buy it.
Yes.
She probably buys half her
And one other point, like just random note, is they were spending a lot of time in the Hamptons and this was clearly shot last fall. It's like, who goes to the Hamptons in the fall?
Well, Aviva does. They stay there from May till November.
Yeah.
She's like, we summer from May till November. That's 7 months of the year. Crazy.
That's three summers together.
It's a long summer.
She's like, we just like to have a key and turn it in. I'm like, AKA, you can't afford a house.
Right,
like,
right. We all know it. That's code word. Yeah. Well, we have just a little bit of news, so I think we'll get into that segment right now. Awesome. We all just got shot. So there were three different parties thrown by the Housewives for the premiere of the new season. So they didn't have just one united party. They had three.
Of course.
Yes. So, I mean, that, you know, that has drama in it in itself. Countess Luann, which she, you know, is divorced. Get rid of the title, right?
Right.
She had a party from 5 to 7. And then we also had Ramona and Sonia having their own affair. And then I believe Aviva as well. So...
that makes sense.
So, yeah. So the three were separate. I don't know exactly if they all attended each one. I believe Luann was not with Ramona, of course, for the viewings, which is apropos. And then I wanted to let you guys know a little bit about what Jill Zarin was saying regarding her firing. I just think it's so, I hate to use the word juicy, but I just think it's like juicy that Jill was fired. Because she just seemed to like own how great she was. Yeah. So when there was a talk of the cast change, she was actually assured that she would be given a heads up beforehand and that she would be given the opportunity to quit before being fired. But when she mentioned quitting, they fired her. But I also feel that perhaps she is just saying that because I don't think she would have quit. I don't think she ever mentioned quitting.
No.
I think she's probably just putting that out there to kind of make herself look better.
Too jealous of Bethany.
Well, you can't fire me
because
I quit anyways. Well, we fired you, so don't bother. Well, yeah, but I was going to quit. Well, we don't care. You're fired.
Right.
Yeah.
And so a producer at Bravo actually ended up firing Jill over the phone. Awesome. Which probably felt like a little bit of a low blow. And then 30 minutes later, she got a call from Andy Cohen, but she wasn't impressed. And she basically said that I feel, you know, fine moving forward in my life, but I also feel a little anxious that I wasn't invited to the party. You know, there's a party going on. You're not invited. It doesn't feel great. So I think Jill's feelings are actually very hurt. If you look at her Twitter account, she didn't really do much tweeting regarding the new season. She maybe did, like, the day before. Mm-hmm. But I think she's trying to kind of take, like, a backseat to the, you know, to making it look like she's desperate. And then lastly, I just want to let you guys know Alex, who I was a big fan of, even though she's like absolutely ridiculous. She's doing a lot of writing regarding the Housewives. So if you guys don't enjoy the AfterBuzz podcast, I bet you can go and see her recaps of the new season. So she's going to be doing that. And she's also writing for Huffington Post, which is just frustrating because it's like usually people who
are serious journalists
get to write for Huffington Post unless you have a reality show or a sex column or something or a sex video or something and then you get to write. Yeah. But anyway, so she'll be writing on Huffington Post. You can check out her stuff there. And yeah, that's it for the news. Breaking news. All right, and predictions.
Now,
we are
Buzz TV.
Really gonna
predictions.
This scares the heck out of me every time.
It's creepy.
Yeah. So what do you guys think for predictions? Do we think at all?
Well, I think that
I try not to.
Heather is like the new crazy cakes. And I predict I'm going to hate her a lot. Mm-hmm. I already do kind of, but I think it's going to get worse. Obviously this fallout between Luann and Ramona is just going to get ugly throughout the season. And I don't have any really exciting predictions. I'm just going to toss that ball.
Yeah.
I kind of have like a prediction slash what I would love to see is I would love to find out that Carol is just recording all that she sees and hears and just she's going to just blow up some point, just lose her mind and you're going to be like, what happened to like calm and collect sensible Carol that everyone's learned to love? She's going to turn out to be crazy.
She seems like she's not going to be the word you hate juicy at all.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I'm saying. Maybe she is juicy. She's just biding her time.
I think she'll probably go home and like write about it, but I don't think she'll be juicy on the show.
Dear Diary. Really?
I think the biggest thing we're going to see with Carol is perhaps some like dating stuff going on in New York because she has her book that she's writing, like a widow's guide to dating, which is more of a nonfiction or I'm sorry, more of a fictional just story. But we did see her with a man in the preview and he said something like he was young or something. And so,
yeah, she said, men are interesting until they're 40.
And he's like, I'm 31.
I'm 31. Yeah. Right. And she's like,
I know.
Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah. So I think maybe we'll just see her storyline progress as maybe she's dating people or seeing people because, you know, she's a widow, obviously.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you know this, but she wrote a book about her husband who died of cancer.
Was it a New York Times bestseller?
It was a New York Times bestseller. And
so she was at band camp.
We may find out we may find more about her experiences as a widow.
Do you guys get the sense that she's like so annoyed with the widow thing? Like she's like, you guys, like she's telling the Glamour editor in chief, well, the hard thing about being a widow is that you can't have sex the first year because then people think you're like cheating on your husband.
They're like, is that
she's
even
having
a rule?
So inconvenient by the fact that she's a widow.
The editor was like, is that even a rule? Like, well, I don't know. She's like, well, it is.
Yeah.
She's like, well, yeah, you should be crying.
I mean, it is kind of true, though.
You should
though.
Be mourning for like a year.
Yeah, of
really?
Course you should
That's,
be.
Oh, man,
she
that
seems
sucks
so annoyed.
To be mourning.
Yeah. She's like, and I don't really want to be talking about my dead husband when I'm wearing hot pants at a party. It's like, sorry your dead husband is inconveniencing you so much.
Right, right, right.
Sorry everything and you own is from that dead husband. You
yes.
should be grateful for everything
including
you own,
your
including
new face.
Your hot pants, your high heels, and your new face.
Because right. she's so much prettier than she was like 20 years ago.
Well, how
absolutely.
Awkward.
And yet nobody bothered to fix their overbites on this
show. Ah, yes. Her mouth to me looks like 1970.
They
and
all
the mouths back then looked like that.
She, Sonia, and Aviva have the same mouth.
Yes, it's yes. very strange.
It's
they have
like
the same hair.
I wonder if Harry's been with her as well. Yeah.
Or no, so not the same hair.
Here's
Heather
my question.
And her
they do.
Hair.
They have the same
hair. Are like retainers or braces
blowout.
A Aviva. No-no?
Yeah. yeah.
When like you're a woman and you're trying to like fix things, are retainers and braces? And I'm just curious. I'm not trying to make a weird comment about it.
When they showed her
in
her wedding,
anything they want, Invisalign is out there. Even Tom Cruise did it.
Right. When they showed her mouth was distracting. When they showed her in more distracting than surgeries, actually.
Yeah.
When they showed her in the wedding photo with yeah. her husband, I looked like I think I like paused the TV because I wanted to actually see if that
sure was
see
her.
Yeah, if that because I couldn't. I wanted to see if her mouth was
the
like that or if it progressed into the situation, but. It was in the picture of her as a married woman, you know, newlywed. She, yes, had a little overbite, but it's definitely like something's off.
Well, I think the overbite became more pronounced because they kind of, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there, maybe pulled some things back and took some things out. Like she had a fuller face.
Yeah.
So obviously a fuller face didn't, now it's like thinner and leaner. And so her and Aviva's as well as seems more pronounced. But
I do want to just say this for the record that we are recapping the Real Housewives of New York. If we talk about looks, everyone just back off because this is part of the deal. We get to critique their looks.
Of course. It's
you know, other shows, if we, you know, kind of get into their looks and it has nothing to do with their looks, it's like, okay, you know, maybe we shouldn't. But this show, I'm saying we can talk.
It's shallow.
About, yes, it's
yeah,
shallow.
We can talk about anything.
We can go there. Okay,
right.
So just for the record. And we really appreciate all the comments and everything on iTunes as well, if you guys want to leave those.
Talk about how shallow we are. We know. We love it.
The NPR.
Wear it like a badge.
No, we're NPR for the Real Housewives. It's hilarious. I think with predictions, though, I do want to say that I think Aviva looked really like a nice woman in this episode, but I think her fangs are going to come out, or not her buck teeth, but I think her fangs are going to come out. And I think we're really going to see some stuff go on with her and Sonia and her and Luann because of Harry.
Absolutely.
I think that's really going to build.
I think that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I would like to see. And again, /predictions/ I would love to see that.
Right. The leg's going to come off. It's going to
be used as a weapon. She's going to use it like a club foot.
Right, right. Any other predictions?
That's it for me.
Well, I'm excited for next week.
Me
I really
too.
Am.
Can't wait. I love
can't
it.
Believe I'm saying this. Yeah.
Addicted.
This was a pretty juicy first episode. I can't wait for
stop saying juicy.
Sorry. This was a non-juicy first episode.
It was a juicy, non-juicy.
Help. Give me another word for juicy then.
Exciting?
Exciting?
What's exciting?
Exciting.
Meaty?
Meaty. Okay. Meaty, maybe. Exciting doesn't do it for me. Juicy is a little more.
Mm.
Well, our show is certainly not juicy anymore. It's actually pretty dry now. So we just want to say thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. If you guys want to tweet us, we're all available on Twitter. If everyone wants to go ahead and give their Twitter handle.
Yeah, I'm Anna Koppel. You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KoppelForMayor.
I'm Yermon Gur. You can follow me on Twitter at Yermon Gur, YerManGur.
I'm Molly Harper. You can follow me on Twitter at Molly Comedy.
And I'm Kristen Carney. You can follow me on Twitter at that name. And go to my blog, sweatthesmallstuffwithkristen.com. I don't know why I'm still trying to push my blog. Like it on Facebook. So, yeah, we've had fun. I hope you guys had fun. Tune in next week when we'll be doing the exact same thing, only in a different where you can see what we look like.
Yeah, and
we'll
probably with less in less time.
Yes.
And I'm definitely not wearing the same thing because
we'll try to keep
Molly
it concise.
Hates on me. So
you look handsome.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.